This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. Today, Pastor Sandy will teach through the book of Proverbs, chapters 10 through 13.
Proverbs are short, pithy statements designed to catch your attention and make you think. They speak the truth in skillful and in catchy ways. Now, to correctly understand a proverb, you need to realize that the proverb is not a promise. Sometimes we mistakenly think of proverbs as guarantees. Not so. A proverb is more of a probability than it is an ironclad promise. A proverb is an observation about life. In essence, when someone gives us a proverb, they're saying, this is how life usually turns out. And the key word there is usually. Exceptions can be found to most proverbs. For example, Proverbs 10, verse 27. This is what it states. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Usually that's true. I mean, generally speaking, godliness makes for a better and a longer life. But we all know cases where evil people grow old and where good people die young. There are exceptions to the rule. Here's another example. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. More often than not, that's true. But again, we all know exceptions where a child trained properly still went astray. You see, to accurately interpret the Proverbs, you have to place a prefix before the proverb. Basically, the odds are, in most cases, more often than not. Sadly, there are very few guarantees in a fallen world. But if you keep the Proverbs, you'll definitely raise the likelihood of a healthy and a happy life. Well, the first 9 chapters here of Proverbs are organized around 2 ladies. I have a daughter and a wife, and most of my life has been organized around 2 ladies. Solomon here organizes the Proverbs around 2 ladies so far, the first 9 chapters. Solomon has warned his son about one woman, the immoral woman. He's talked about her intentions and how to avoid her and the consequences of getting too close to her. You'll get burned. Instead of the immoral woman, Solomon tries to fix his son up with Lady Wisdom. She's the woman of your dreams. She's the woman who can give you a better life. Court wisdom, not the immoral woman. Those are the first 9 chapters. Now for the next 20 chapters, the Proverbs are not quite as structured. King Solomon will seem to string together a random collection of individual Proverbs. This is the rest of the book, the next 20 chapters. I like what commentator Robert Allen says about this book. He says, Proverbs is a collection of sayings with no arrangement, outline, order, or progression. When you think about it, however, life is like that. We try to bring order to life, but opportunities and crises and unexpected intrusions come. Perhaps that is why Proverbs comes to us in the form that it does. You know, oftentimes you live life by just taking the next thing day by day. I like the old saying, yard by yard, life is hard. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Sometimes you just take what comes. You just have to play the hand that you've been dealt. And that's what we find in the Proverbs. We're going to take these Proverbs one at a time. And as we go through this, what seems to be a random string of Proverbs, God will give us wisdom in every area of our life. Well, Proverbs chapter 10 begins with these words. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. My mom and dad are here. That's why I skipped over that first verse there. I hope the first part of that is true. A wise son has made a glad father. I hope the second part of that is not true. A foolish son is the grief of his mother, at least in regards to my mom and dad. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Man, money can buy you a lot in life, but it's useless in the life to come. Righteousness is the medium of exchange that counts in eternity. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers after death. Verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. A slack hand belongs to a lazy man. The opposite of slack is diligent. The diligent man stays at it. He works hard. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give out. You know, I've taught my kids, my boys particularly, that if they're on time, and if they work hard, and if they care about what they do, instantly they have distinguished themselves from about 90% of today's workforce. And we're not yet talking about talent or education. That's a resume bonus. Golfer Gary Player once said, "The harder I work, the luckier I got." I think that's true for most of us. Be diligent in your work. The hand of the diligent makes rich, he says. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. In other words, some jobs are seasonal. You got to work while the work is available. Try to pace yourself and you'll miss out on the opportunity. Gather now. There'll be plenty of time to sleep later, he's saying. Blessings are at the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous, in other words, his reputation, is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. In other words, a righteous man will be fondly remembered. When the wicked dies, we're all glad that he's gone. He says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Prating means idle chatter. This is the guy or the gal who just likes to talk and never listen. Know anybody like that? You know, God gives us two ears and one mouth because he wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. The wise man listens and receives commands. Verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Speak the truth and you don't have to remember what you said. If you're a liar, you better have a good memory or you'll get caught in one of your lies. He's saying here, honesty and integrity provide us a sense of security. He says, he who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. A man who winks casts doubt on what he thinks. I mean, you say something and then you wink. What do we wonder? Did he really mean what he said? Does he have some ulterior motive, some hidden agenda? He says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Notice this, words come from one of two sources. They flow from life or they flow from death. A righteous heart speaks words that promote life, whereas a wicked heart speaks words that cause strife and division. You know, here Solomon acknowledges that there is such a thing as verbal abuse. He says, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. A wicked man can do violence not only with his hands, but also with his words. Verbal abuse is a very, very real danger. With words, friendships can be severed. Marriages can be broken. Kids can be wounded. Churches can be split. A wicked person can do much violence with their words. Here he says that hatred fractures, whereas love covers, which prevents division. You see, love is the oil of relationships. It's the grease that keeps the relational gears churning. Love forgives. It refuses to hold a grudge. It allows for fresh starts. 1 Corinthians 13 says it best, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Hey, love never fails. He says, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. In other words, he's saying that a fool could use a good beating from time to time. Something just to wake him up. I mean, have you ever seen somebody or dealt with somebody and you thought to yourself, man, that guy just needs to be taken to the woodshed. I wish somebody would just take that guy out behind the barn for a little while. You know what that means? That's what he's saying here about the fool. You know, but a rod for the back of him who is devoid for understanding. Some guys just need to get beat up every now and then just to wake them up and keep them on the right track. Somebody say amen? Okay. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Hey, are you storing up knowledge? Do you read your Bible? Do you memorize it? Do you study it? Do you apply it to your heart? Knowledge is to be stored. He says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Remember, it's not money that's the root of all evil, but the love of money. We know that. Actually, money is a tool that can be used for good or it can be used for evil. Here we're told that when a rich man uses his wealth wisely, it protects and it provides for him and his family like a strong city. I mean, because of money, he's not scavenging around for his next meal or for a place to sleep. Money can bring to him a degree of security that will allow him to engage in other pursuits, godly pursuits. You know, you don't worry about the next meal's coming from, so you can go to church and you can raise your family and you can do things with your kids. He says, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. Notice how a person spends his money, whether it leads to life or to sin, depends on what's in that person's heart. Is it righteous or is it wicked? He says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life. But he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Boy, we should take note of that. He who restrains his lips is wise. You know, I've discovered the longer I keep my mouth open, the more opportunity I have to put a foot in it. The Greek philosopher Plato once said, wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools because they have to say something. Are you one of those people who talks because you've got something to say or because you have to say something? Talk a lot and invariably you get into trouble. Notice this, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Hey, there is much wisdom and much protection in being a person of few words. You know, when Pastor Chuck used to visit us for the pastor's conference, we would have to act as his chauffeur. We'd go down to the airport, we'd pick him up, bring him back. And it was always awkward because we have such respect and admiration for Pastor Chuck. We're riding in the car with him. And the thing about Chuck is he never said much. And so you'd just go for miles and you'd have this kind of awkward silence, you know. I mean, Chuck Smith is not a talker. He is a man of very few words. I think it's a mark of wisdom. The less you say, the less trouble you're going to get. I like the old poem, a wise old owl, he sat in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to imitate that wise old bird. He goes on, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You know that money and prosperity can bring complication, can they not? Oftentimes, prosperity brings a degree of sorrow with it. Worldly blessings come with baggage. Man, you really love that brand new car you got until you suddenly hit with the insurance premiums. Oh my insurance went up. Worldly blessings come with baggage, but God's gifts, they have no downside. God's gifts are hassle-free. Verse 23, to do evil is like a sport to a fool. But a man of understanding has wisdom. Evil to a fool is like a game. He's playing games. Can he win and not get caught? That's his goal. He said, a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. In other words, he won't be able to escape what he fears. The desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. In other words, sinners eventually get blown away, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. I mean, vinegar is sour to the taste buds, is it not? Smoke irritates the eyes, and likewise, a lazy man frustrates his employer. Colossians 3, verse 17 reads, "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." There is no excuse for a Christian not to be the hardest working person in the office, not to be the most diligent employee on the job. You can't be a witness and an irritation at the same time. Are you vinegar to their tongue? Are you smoke in their eyes? Or are you a blessing to your employer and fellow employees? We're told the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Fear God, and chances are you'll live longer, you'll live better. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. In other words, the righteous person has a reason to be optimistic. I mean, God is in his life. Whereas the wicked person can be as positive as he wants to be. I mean, he can be a Tony Robbins disciple. But without God, he'll eventually perish. All the optimism in the world won't help you if you're living without the Lord. He says, "The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth." And here he's thinking of the end of the age. He says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse." Don't speak a word of slander. And then sort of shrug your shoulders and say you didn't realize what you said. I'm sorry, I didn't think you'd take it that way. Of course you knew how that would be taken. You know, we all can differentiate helpful words from harmful words. Don't say harmful words or slanderous words and then shrug your shoulders and pretend that you didn't know what you said. Proverbs 11, verse 1 mandates honest business practices. Truth in advertising, he says. "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." In ancient times, people did business with the scales. They put the produce on one side, the money on the other side, or whatever it was, they were commodities of exchange. They would use the scales to divide up how much things cost. And here, an ancient crook, he would succeed in tinkering with the scales. Oftentimes, he would have two sets of scales. You know, on the distribution scales, his ounce was half an ounce. On the payment scales, his ounce was an ounce and a half. He had it tinkered so that he would come out on the better end. Here's the point. Be honest in your business practices. Don't cheat other people. Don't include little hidden charges. Deliver exactly what you promise. What the buyer sees is what the buyer gets. That's the way we need to do business. He says, "When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom." Notice this. Pride and wisdom are strangers to each other. Pride and wisdom don't hang out together. I mean, pride drives away wisdom, and wisdom drives away pride. He says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." You know, integrity is a great guide. You know, if you're a person of integrity, if you've made integrity a priority, that means that decisions and directions become much clearer for you. It's much easier to make decisions if you're a person of integrity, if you've concluded ahead of time that you're going to do what's right regardless. He says in verse 4, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Again, all the world's money won't help you one bit on judgment day. A right relationship with God is what's going to matter then. Verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, notice this, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Oscar Wilde was a brilliant wit and an amazing writer. He won many literary awards. In fact, Wilde had everything going for him. But he became a slave to his own lusts. And it was his own wickedness that brought him down and ruined his life. I want you to listen to Oscar Wilde's sad confession. He said, I had almost everything, but I let myself be lured into long spells of senseless and sensual ease. Tired of being on the heights, I deliberately went to the depths in search of new sensation. What the paradox was to me in the sphere of thought, perversity became to me in the sphere of passion. I grew careless of the lies of others. I took pleasure where it pleased me and passed on. I forgot that every little action of the common day makes or unmakes character, and that therefore what one has done in the secret chamber, one has someday to cry aloud from the housetop. I ceased to be the Lord over myself. I was no longer the captain of my soul and did not know it. I allowed pleasure to dominate me, and I ended in horrible disgrace. Sobering, isn't it? This is what Solomon predicts. The unfaithful will be caught by their lust. He says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Read the story of Esther. What a wonderful example. The wicked Haman, he ends up swinging from the gallows that he built for old Mordecai. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Reminds me of the guy who was breaking into the store, and he reached down and he grabbed a manhole cover, and he threw it through the window, and he went in and robbed the store, but when he was coming out, he fell into the manhole. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. Hey, everybody likes to see the good guy win, don't we? Isn't there something about, we want justice. God's put it in our hearts. We want to see the good guy win. Verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Boy, a wise man or woman knows how to hold their tongue. Do you realize just because you think a thought doesn't mean you have to say it? Has that dawned on you yet? The wise person can hold their tongue. They can hold their peace. Chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. The Hebrew word translated talebearer means blabbermouth or tattletale. I mean, guys, just because a statement is true and you know it, doesn't mean it's appropriate for you to tell it. It could be none of your business. It could be that you just need to keep your mouth closed. You know, some people just like to talk about other people. It's sad.
The wisdom of the Proverbs transcends generations. Each phrase is as true today as it was when it was written centuries ago. God spoke through incredible truth through the pens of his authors throughout the Bible. But the book of Proverbs captures these wise adages in easy-to-follow, common-sense statements. As you continue to study this Old Testament book here with us on Sandy Adams Radio, We encourage you to apply what you learn in your own interactions with others. What we are learning is what God desires each person's life to embody. If you'd like to listen to more of Pastor Sandy's teachings in Proverbs or explore other teaching series from the Word of God, you can do so at sandyadams.org. Download the mobile app there as well to take these Bible teachings with you wherever you go. This website also contains links to our Twitter and Facebook pages where we'd love to connect with you and have you join in the conversations you'll find there. Also at sandyadams.org, you can learn more about Pastor Sandy, read some of his informative articles, and find a store with some books he's authored. These are great reads for new believers and veterans of the faith alike. All of this and so much more is found at sandyadams.org. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Sandy next time for more from his verse-by-verse study of the book of Proverbs right here on Sandy Adams Radio.